to roll. Welcome. It's nice to have you.
So we'd like someone, one voice in the room, to just pop up and read this out loud for everyone. Anyone?
The real value of coming into a deeper self-recognition and self-understanding through the Enneagram is that your journey into this new territory only begins with identifying which of the types you most relate to. A fundamental brilliance inherent in the Enneagram system is that it invites each of us to enter a particular path of healing and integration. And I hope I'm not saying that wrong.
Perfect. Thank you. So we have a really, we're going to really move a lot faster. We're going to have a lot more activity today. And we're going to start with Enneadate. Idiot speed dating. Okay. Sorry, speed dating. So what this is, anyone speed dating here? I've never done either, but you come up and you have to make decisions really fast. So what we're going to do is I'm going to put on the next slide, and you're going to have 30 seconds or something in that to read through them. And they're themes. They're 9 themes. And they each have a little symbol around here that is attached to each one of them. And you're not going to deliberate. You're not going to say, oh, I could be this, this, or this. The first one that pops up, you're going to go with, and you're going to stand in the vicinity of that. Okay? Questions?
So what's going to, you're going to put something on the screen?
I'm going to put it on the screen.
And then we're going to
read it.
For those of you who weren't here yesterday, there's 9 Enneagram types that we're going to go through in detail today. And each Enneagram type has a theme. And so it's just kind of a general kind of tagline to each. So that's what we're going to put up here. The intention is to just kind of throw the first arrow at the clue of what kind of life might fit. So we're not, don't worry, you can always change, you can throw it out, whatever, but it's just to go with the first instinct. Does that, anyone else? Answer? Everyone's clear?
It kind of gives you an idea, too, you know, of all the different types of people and where they stand and in their group.
There are 9 types?
Yes.
There's only 7.
Oh, there's one here and there's one there. All right, good. Thank you.
We really had to think about how to go around
with it. We tried to color code and we came up with all ideas, and we have like 6 minutes to do the whole thing or less. So, we have to get through all 9 types.
Yes. Did you name the symbols yesterday?
No.
So,
all you need to do is match the symbol that you see next to the theme to that. These symbols have no meaning. Okay.
Yeah, we did not.
We were just trying to
really talk too much about the
types. No. They're just because logistically we were trying
to. Let's try the first one.
Well, I'm going to put them all up.
Oh.
So is everyone clear? So all of them go up.
Then you pick the one you want.
You pick the one you want. You look at the symbol and you match it, and you go stand on the symbol.
Okay. Which one lands with you? Go stand under that symbol.
Is that last one I've got to be me?
Oh yeah, so sorry. Typo.
Are you going to be me too?
Yep. I gotta be me. It's not perfect. It's just an exercise. So if you're, make sure that we all see the group that you're in. So groups, put your hands around each other because we're kind of meshing together. Okay, all right, so here we are. So what I want to do is start over here. Who do we have at, are you all the first one?
No.
We're number 4.
Oh.
So all of us right here are you can count on me.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
You can count on me.
Let's have you just name it. So you are which one? The theme?
Individualist.
Okay. So you're 4. We only have 2 fours. Okay. Cool. And over here we have main year type.
The loyal.
Loyalist.
Number 6. Someone say your theme tag.
It was online.
Say your sentence.
Say your theme.
Oh, say our theme.
You can count on me.
You can count on me.
Okay. Over here.
Oh,
sorry, stars.
There's a right way. I'm going to show you how.
Oh, God, so
my pleasure to give. Now what do you need?
Okay, right over here.
I love life! I don't want to be serious at all!
Yeah! And there's one above, too. So what? How many is that? 7, 8. Wow. That's amazing. Okay.
I am the rock. Do it my way.
I don't need much,
but I need my space.
Five, good. Over here.
Oh, I just came out.
Eliza, what are you? Peg, do you know me?
Oh, that's good.
We're hashtagging. Yeah.
Sit. Okay. So you are?
We could be hashtagging your body.
Okay. And then this is
can't we all get along?
Now that was not science, or it didn't identify you, but it was fun.
Yeah.
So, just
take a look at the distribution. We have some of everyone, right?
A lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Lots of enthusiasm.
And remember, we learned last night that you have a little bit of each of it, of the types in you.
So you're not going to sit down the way you did before, because what you're going to do is you're going to sit somehow in groups of 3, 4, 5, whatever feels right. It doesn't matter. Don't have to be the same type, because now we're going to go through each type, and we're going to take about 4 minutes for each type, and you're going to like just hover with each other and just talk about it briefly.
Okay. And then when we're done, we want you to think about what you have to give thanks for each type. So when you're done with the discussion, in the discussion, think about why we give thanks for that type. Okay?
So we name each type among ourselves, and then
we're going to lead you through it.
Okay.
So right now,
so
if you
right
just,
now just
get
through.
In your groups, and we'll lead you through.
If you just get still for a moment, so that. And we're ready to go. We handed out a little cartoon as you came in, the dinner party. Just kind of have some fun with that. We did the speed idiot dating. Now we're going to do the journey around the map that we talked about last night. And then as we finish each type, we're going to just name a reason why we're thankful that they're in the world with us. Okay. And we're going to start with type 8. Because type 8, if you remember last night, is the beginning of the body center. 8, 9s, and 1s are in the body center. So it makes more sense to look at all the people who react instinctually. Okay? So, 8s have easy access. The body center people, their core emotion is anger, with a focus on order, structure, and control. And 8s have easy access to anger energy, and they often overdo their anger. They react before they think. 9s underdo their anger. They often report not even having any. They most report not feeling anger very often, although they may erupt on rare occasions. And some, they have to get anger out, so sometimes they do it in kind of passive-aggressive ways. 1s repress their anger and push down the impulse hard into the unconscious through automatic generation and expression on the opposite impulse. And they might say, I'm not angry, I'm just annoyed. So they just kind of don't express it as anger.
So they tend to have roles as bosses and leaders, confronters and dominators. And like Julie said, they have that. They tend to have access to that angry energy and that life force. I think I mentioned yesterday, they're one of the types that have this just beautiful connection to the power of getting things done and the power of just being in the world. And they have a tremendous, once they grow up through understanding how to actually be with their anger, they can get a ton of things done.
Which one are you talking about now?
Oh, I'm sorry, 8. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're back on 8?
You can't see my notes.
Okay. Yeah.
So sorry.
Oh, never. I thought you went 8, 9.
She went 8, 9, 1 as an intro for the body part.
They're the body parts, and their core emotion is anger.
All 3 share that.
And the 8s have easy access. The 9s don't even feel it's there. They are kind of passive aggressive with it. And the 1s kind of repress it and rename it.
So yeah, the 8s are the ones that, like the atlas, that I'm going to just push the rock, and I'm going to just push it. And I'm just going to, you know, just keep doing it. They were born with the gift of understanding that God provides all things. Warmth, food, protection, and awareness, no matter how weak or needy God provides. They lost that understanding. So each type has... They come in with this beautiful gift, and something makes us lose it. And it can be a variety of things. But they lost the understanding that the world was fair. So they see the world as unfair, and they take this commitment to standing for the fair in the world. Mother Teresa is an 8. A lot of people think she's a 2. She's a very evolved 8, and she goes in and she just uses that power and that energy and that life force. You know, it's just right there, out of the belly. So that they try to stop what they think causes them to be vulnerable. So their journey in life is to be vulnerable. So their heart that is wounded, for them to get to that place of the fullness of heart of who they are, their main journey is that I'm vulnerable and I can be with them and I can lean on others. And then their strength can take a difference in that texture. They felt that they have to take over God's job of protecting. So what we're going to do, we're going to try this. We might do it in a few groups later, but let's try it at first. So let's get in your groups. And you have a handout, and it's decoding the personality structure of the 8. You have clues here. You're not going to have time to read all of it, but just take kind of wonder what are they good at, what are their gifts, what are their behaviors, how might I see why they're on here, and just gather in your group and just kind of ask yourself, I wonder what it's like to be an 8.
I have a question.
Yeah.
The group, is that the group under the icon, or are we now in a blended group?
You can be whoever you want to be, if not.
So what's it like to be an 8, do you think?
So let's come back. Let's bring ourselves back to the whole group. And let's just maybe, somebody want to say from each group how they approached it. I know some people might have had some questions. What are we supposed to do? How did you approach that, this activity?
It's kind of an experiment for us.
Yeah.
I know. It's actually hard to approach.
Okay.
We just sort of started reading down the different things and sort of talking about them, but it's a really hard thing to analyze succinctly.
Were you able to ask yourself, I see myself in certain ways, in certain traits in this type?
I was.
Because you were?
I was.
Okay.
But I'm not that type.
So did anybody give that approach to it?
We all agreed that we were 8s at certain times in our lives. We needed to call on the 8.
Okay.
And we all thought that we had seen that in our lives. And then we started talking about other 8s, you know, historic 8s.
And how were you, because that is one of the the transformational tools of the Enneagram is you can call on the high side of each personality. If you needed to call and be an eight, how would you do that? Did you talk about that?
What were they saying?
We talked about
we've done it.
That you've done it?
We have told us.
Well, I would think you would ask, what am I angry about? What is really, where's that anger? And what's around, what's it about?
And how can I use it in a
positive, yeah.
Positive way to make change and fairness?
I think if you use it as an eight and you aren't really an eight, there's a learning curve of how to use it, because at first I didn't come off as, but after having some situations that really required it, you know, I just kind of steadied myself and did fine with it. But it isn't, if it's not natural, it's not as easy to do.
Okay, so you, right now you all just brought up a point about the transformational journey of the Enneagram. You do have each type in you, and if you need that type, you can access it.
And sometimes that anger with the eights is passion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So engaging, knowing and being aware of what, and also if someone else is coming at you with that energy, and you tend to go, whoa, you know, you don't know how to really, you have to kind of adjust to know how to engage with the energy. So think of it, I wonder what they're passionate about. I wonder what they're really caring about. Mm-hmm. So it's a way of, once you start to start to see the different energies, it allows you to step in next to each other more compassionately to say, oh, how can I meet this energy? What's it about? How can I come and blend with it? Knowing your own energy. You know, eights, my energy of eights takes a lot of my attention and because it doesn't come easily, but I'm learning it to meet with whatever I need to and grow myself. There's a question back here.
Oh, I was just going to say, you're asking how we approached it.
Yeah.
We talked about people we knew, either here in an immediate sense, or historically, or world figures today, current politicians. and that, at least to me, was helpful to understand it.
Yeah.
And we'd agree, oh yeah, that person really is an eight. Not so much. And yeah.
Eights get a lot of bad rap. Mm-hmm. A lot because they have this challenger and they can kind of be over the top, but really it's a powerful piece that we all need. It's mm-hmm. it's a fantastic energy.
And just another reminder, one of the strengths of the Enneagram is that it teaches you that people behave in a certain way because of a motivation, the way they see the world. So if you see an eight coming at you, you're going to have compassion, because you know that lots of times they're motivated by justice and fairness and thinking that they need to see the world or make the world in a right way, and they don't want to be vulnerable. So what do you have, what did you give thanks to the eight for? What can we give thanks to the eight for in our world?
Make things happen.
Is anybody glad for eights who stand up for justice?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right, thank you, eights. Nines, we're gonna move on to nines. And these are the people who desire peace and want people to get along. They are the peacemakers, the mediators, the negotiators, and the preservationists. They have kind of receptive back energy. Eight has energy out there, and nine kind of has this withdrawing receptive energy. They withdraw and move away. Nines were given the gift, the spiritual gift, of knowing that reality is all about everything connected and united in love. They say that President Obama is a nine. They say that the best leaders are nines, because they have that gift of unifying. They know at their core, and when they're healthy, that how to bring things together, how to unite. They knew themselves as part of the great I Am. They began to feel a disconnection from the oneness. Somehow, as we grow and our ego grows, we start looking around, disconnecting from our mom when we're little. We see things in a different way from the gift. Okay?
Can you say that last word again?
From the gift. The gift of our spiritual gift.
Okay.
We start to see the world a little bit different as our ego grows. And that's so that we can kind of create ourselves. I mean, we live in this non-dual world, but we are each an individual person. So we go about creating ourselves. And it causes a little bit of a disconnect. The disconnect drained them of focused energy. To bring back the feeling of connection, their egos felt the need to blend in with others. So nines are those people that blend in with others. They get along. They just go with the flow. They avoid conflict in order to maintain peace and to bring back the oneness. They want to bring back that oneness. Their heart is wanting to do that. So they're blending in. They're kind of forgetting themselves. So go ahead in your group, talk about the nines. Talk about if you feel yourself as a nine, what nines you know in the world, and the gifts that the nines bring.
General questions before that?
Just on the list here, it says apathetic, which just doesn't seem like it fits all of the other stuff.
They can get apathetic when we get overwhelmed. We, meaning I'm a nine, get overwhelmed. We get,
So they would look apathetic. And it would look like...
As you self-forget, you lose touch with your life force. When you lose touch with your life force, you don't know how to engage. And so you can be kind of apathetic or in this place of overwhelm. Oftentimes, nines will get kind of addicted to something like TV watching or... what's the word they use?
Tune out and kind of check out it.
Binge watching?
Yeah.
Basically that. There's a word I'm thinking of that I can't grab. Basically, it can be anything. It can be alcohol. It can be whatever it is, numbness. They numb out. You know, that's their way of numbing and just the pain of not being able to connect.
Narcotization.
That's what it is.
Narc out.
It's a lovely word.
And anything. Just to forget.
That sounds like an addictive behavior.
Well, we all... I love that you said that because every single of the type has their own addiction.
Okay.
And it's not necessarily a chemical addiction. It can be addictions to all kinds of things.
Right.
You know, the eights are addicted more to power and control.
Nines might be addicted to like comfort food.
Yeah.
Watching TV. Just going in and numbing out. Tomorrow we're going to talk about there's nine levels of health in each of the types. So,
okay.
Go ahead.
We're going to move on to ones now. So, we can have much deeper conversation, as you can tell, about all of these, but for us to get through the whole thing, we have to keep moving on. So, the ones, I'm going to actually refer a little bit also.
Can we give thanks for the night?
Yeah.
Okay. What do we give thanks to the nines for?
Lifting up unity.
Lifting up unity.
Keeping peace. Good glue.
Making their sisters talk to each other.
Yeah, three of them.
Good glue.
My little boss.
Energetically, they can help conflict. Once they step into it, they can energetically ground conflict.
Okay, thank you, nines.
Okay, ones. So some people have been a little confused about the iceberg, so I'll just say that the iceberg, but this is an iceberg, and below the water there's more of it, and so there's lots of things that make us as people, not just type, not just genetics. I mean, there's lots and lots of things that remain hidden. And we ended up seeing ourselves mostly and each other at the top. And the journey down to the bottom is what helps us expand and get the self-awareness.
And in the iceberg, in the shadow, is good stuff too. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you start doing the work on yourself, you start saying, like if you're a six and you're a self-doubter and you say, I'm so worthless, I can't get anything done. You start doing the work and you say, I am really loyal. I am a good friend. I've always been that way. I've always been so responsible and I never even saw that. So in the shadow is the good and the bad.
The miss the mark passion. I'm a little confused.
The passion? The passion is
miss the mark slash passion.
That's another word for passion. It's the way we miss the mark. It's as Rohr talks about it as the way he identifies sin is how we miss the mark. We separate ourselves from our homes. So we miss the mark.
So those are some of like the seven deadly sins.
That's your chief.
Okay. So the ones feel the need to be good or right. They comply to their inner critic. They have the strongest inner critic. They're the reformers, crusaders, perfectionists, judges, and are self-controlled, and they move toward others. They were born with the gift of knowing that people and all things are deeply good, and God saw that it was good. As they grew, they began to see people and the world as imperfect. The great disappointment, the great heartbreak, they saw that the world wasn't perfect. So the ego began to work to manufacture perfection. Richard Rohr is a one, and he'll talk about it in his writings that you do, and he's this whole kind of thing about how he had to do everything right, and then when he hit his shadow in his deep works in the later part of his life, he was hit with this awful thing of, oh no, I went into this life, this everything he does as a Franciscan for the wrong reason. I chose this for the wrong reason. All of a sudden you're there holding, you know, however many years of your life with a deep grief. But they're the people that really, you know, they come at things, they want it right. And that happens especially when organizations are changing, when churches are changing. When there's a lot of change going on in a group or a collective, the ones are the ones that hold the story. They're the ones that let's hold what we did. It's harder for them to move because they want everything to be perfect, and that might not be perfect. And uncertainty is terrifying. Not always, but that tends to be a trend. Their sense of self: unreasonable, responsible, and objective. Their core belief is, I'm bad, thus I have to create and follow rules to be good. And that what they do with resentment, as Julie said earlier, I mean, with anger, it goes in. And oftentimes they'll say, I'm not angry. But it just festers into resentment. Great thing about eights that we missed, by the way, is that when eights get angry and then they get through it, it's gone. The nine and the ones, like, we just wallow in it. I'm gonna be punishing you for 5 years. Okay, groups. Get into your groups and do your thing. Okay, what did you see about the ones that we think we need to uplift? What did you see about the ones?
Can be very black and white.
Can be very black and white.
They do things well. They are always raising the bar. I heard one time that it's really exhausting to be a one because you're just scanning. You're scanning all the time for what's right, what's wrong, what you need to do.
To be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause, as I sang in my Man of the Logic.
So what do we give thanks to the one for? What can we give thanks to having the ones in our
wisdom.
World? What?
Wisdom.
Wisdom.
Morality.
Oh, yes.
Objective. They can raise the bar.
Mission and purpose oriented that you've got here, that's one I can identify with.
Okay.
If you want something done right, would it be good to have a one?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
They care a lot.
Okay, so that's the body center. The people who react from their instinct. Now we're going to move into the heart center, the 2, the 3, the 4.
Okay, so the triad, this is the triad of 2, 3, and 4, and so twos are in, sorry, I was told it in part of my brain. Twos are in conflict with their sadness. They feel unloved for who they are, which causes them grief. So they strive to create an image that will ensure them love and approval.
So the heart center people's core emotion is going to be grief and sadness.
So twos are in conflict with it. The threes underdo grief. They're the achievers. They underdo grief, habitually numbing out their feelings so they don't get in the way of working to goals. So they're in this, they're really on this way to this goal, and they underdo their grief. They don't really handle it very well. The four is overdue attachment to grief. They feel abandoned and left out, feeling the need to present themselves as unique or special.
So type two people. These are the people who believe they must fully give to others. They are compliant to their need to give. They are helpers, givers, pleasers, caretakers, and are very generous. They comply with their need to give. They are self-effacing, and they move towards others. Twos were born with the gift of knowing themselves in all things as beloved by God. That is their sacred gift in this world, to know that they are beloved by God, as all people are. As they grew, something in their growing up made them feel that they weren't so loved. And they found it difficult to maintain that truth of being beloved. So they began to work to manipulate the world to love them. Twos really need to feel that you love them. So that they go out and they help and they give and they overdo because they need to feel that love. They've forgotten that they are loved. Nothing that they can do can bring that on. So go ahead, talk about the two. Okay, what do you see about the twos? Anybody have anything they want to uplift from their conversation about twos?
They're generous and genuinely caring.
And that is true. A healthy two is extraordinarily generous.
They'll travel 1,000 miles to work at Holden Village.
Yes, they will. Travel 1,000 miles. Yes. You were saying amen, huh? Okay.
It's a Lutheran's way of saying amen, you know.
Anybody else? What else do we see about the twos?
We kind of struggled with some of this being a societal, or you know, as women being this is women are supposed to be.
You would be surprised. There are more men twos than there are women.
But I love what you said, because there are cultural patterns.
Yes. And the United States is considered to be a 1-3 culture. Germany is a 6 culture.
Churches tend to have a 2 okay culture.
That's what we said. That was a training in being in church also, that this was how we were raised to be in a certain time. Not now. Yeah. Young women, they don't get as much of that.
What's that?
I'm talking to myself.
Oh, okay. We like that. Okay. Were you going to say something?
Oh, just that, yeah, I think that's a cultural thing. Like, Midwest, I mean, I'm from the Midwest, but like, that's, you always ask if you can help. Or you always ask if someone's doing okay. And I ask people if I can help them, even though I really don't want to help them. And I am not a two, but I know that I'm supposed to ask, so I think it is, like, cultural.
Well, and that's where I think there's, like, the difference, too,
between like behavior and motivation,
yes.
right? Because yeah. this is where you're yeah. talking about like, where are you coming from?
Sure.
You can behave a certain way.
Right.
Which is why it's hard to identify, I think, other people's numbers sometimes. Mm-hmm. Because their behavior doesn't always yeah. like right. reflect what, where they're motivated from.
And yeah. the motivations come from the bottom of the iceberg.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
But if your joy, comes from giving, then and that fits. It's when your talents, skills, presence, whatever it is, meets somebody else in their need, it's really rewarding.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
really rewarding.
Well, it's not,
and that's not the only twos that do it.
Yeah.
I mean, they, all yeah. types do it. Yeah.
And one thing about the Enneagram is so much of stuff they're doing in neuroscience and stuff just fits right in. They're finding out that we need neurologically to receive. And when twos don't allow that to happen, they can't grow. They can't feel that abundant goodness of receiving. So,
okay.
yeah, a healthy two is okay with taking on.
But the journey for the two really is to really look deeply into what's under their giving. Because they can be really motivated by what they're getting from
mm-hmm.
from it, and they can become very manipulative, which is challenging.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As amateur helpers, a group of us would sometimes reflect: who got the most out of this help? Was it us helpers, or was it the people we set out to help? And frequently, the conclusion was, well, we as would-be helpers feel like we were benefited more than the help persons.
Yeah.
Is that typical or weird? Or?
I think that's a conversation, and you hear that a lot in churches around, or, you know, conversations around in churches around missionary work.
Yeah.
And how we really show up in the missionary work that we do, for the sake of what, and are we really doing it? You know, Americans have a lot of blindness around that. Mm-hmm. Okay, three. Sorry, we're moving really fast because it's almost
four. What is the...
the gifts.
The
gifts. What are we three, the two's for?
Unconditional love.
Sorry. Nurturing.
Oh, two.
Forgiving.
Giving. Willing.
Okay. So threes. Threes have a totally different energy. These are the ones that underdo grief and emotion. These are people who are driven to be successful. Like Julie said, that's one a lot, a big type in our country collectively. That's what makes our organization to run. They're performers, achievers, motivators, and administrators. They assert their need to achieve. They have expansive energy, and they move against others. Another great person to have on your team is an achiever, because they'll go at it. They were born with the gift of knowing themselves and all creation as being beloved by God. Experiencing life in the world caused them to not be able to maintain that feeling of being beloved, so they began to work to manipulate to bring on love.
Oh, that was the two one.
I thought
threes forgot that I typed this. So now I've got to rely on what I know. Threes forgot that everything changes. And yeah. that in that changing, God is evolving. So they decided we got to step in and make sure the change happens right. We got to do God's job and make sure the change happens right. So that's the three and their gift and what they forgot. So sorry, I
that's all right. We love each other still.
So go ahead, Dr. Feige, three. It is 5:04, so we've kind of
we've kind of got at a place where we need to decide if you want to go to dinner. You're welcome to go. Otherwise, I think what we're going to do is we're going to go through without going into the small groups for the rest of the week. So that we can finish this up and that Friday we can do our rest session. Okay? So, the threes, what are we giving thanks to the threes for?
Well, things get done.
Things get done, yeah. They get things done. Adaptable. Anything else?
Good negotiators.
Yeah, I have my brother-in-law is a three. He's a great negotiator.
Inspirational.
Yeah, a healthy three really is. We're concerned about teaching people how to do things. They're good teachers. Okay, type four. These are the people who are emotionally tuned in. They are the artists, tragic romantics, creators, and individualists. They withdraw to their deepest feelings. Their energy is resigned, and they move away. They kind of hold their energy back. Fours were born with the gift of knowing themselves as part of the essential, unified, beautiful creation. As they grew, they felt the union and beauty were broken. They feel the need to create an outer world of beauty to restore the original blessing. So go ahead and look at your little thing, and then let's make comments as a large group, as you see and have something.
The themes for the type four are rescue me and I've got to be me.
Uh-huh.
That's so different. You sound contradictory.
Yeah, and you have to remember there's levels of help. So the rescue me is a four that wants you to see them and help them.
They tend to have such a range of emotion, this particular type, that they want so much to be me and they want so much to be unique. That they also tend, and they have this core kind of something deep is missing. Something is missing in me. What's missing? I mean, it's a pattern actually of thought of something that's always missing in whatever. So they tend to go towards rescue me. I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to deal with this kind of melancholy that comes on me. So they look for people to rescue them, which is where that came from. Do we have any fours in the room that want to give us an idea?
Yes, ma'am.
I have a four, but I don't want to give you an idea.
But I don't know either. But I get it all. It all makes sense.
Is it resonating with you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the part about the beauty, I mean, that's mm-hmm. always a topic of conversation, mm-hmm. seeking beauty. Mm-hmm.
And fours have a longing, like there's something out there I want. I don't know what it is. Other people have it.
Like the word I used yesterday was oceanic. They're this absolutely beautiful. And they can access so much, but then it confuses them until they know how to kind of grow into it.
Mm-hmm.
It's and they get caught in. This sadness, this missing, this longing, this, mm-hmm. and then they reach out when they're young, and maybe when they're older too. I don't know. They can be unbelievably dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think great artists, many of them, they're always striving to be better, mm-hmm. and they are mm-hmm. always creating something very beautiful, but. It's never good enough. Mm-hmm. It's always never enough.
Yeah, that's the key.
It's always
it's never
like,
good.
Yeah, it's like trying to bring the unseen to the scene.
For the sake of?
It could be for beauty, it could be for a whole number of things, but it could be beauty. Mm-hmm. You know, that there's something in there that's trying to find its way out.
Mm. So that's energetically, you can sense the energy in how this for the sake of this, just this. You know, this wanting to deliver. I mean, I, you know, something
No, then I just noticed the fantasize, which is totally like, I fantasize, I go to sleep thinking about what I'm going to fantasize on. I think that's normal, but I don't know.
Or is a big fantasizer.
Yes.
I was just going to say, to me, those people are have some of the qualities of the peacemaker. The peacemaker looks at people to keep everything together. And it seems to me that the ones who are the artists really want everybody to see the beauty of it. Mm-hmm. But their vessel is a form of art. That's how, but they have a desire for the universe to know.
To know that
this beauty,
that they used to know.
Yeah.
Their gift. So what do we thank? What are we thankful to the forest for?
Beauty.
Vision.
Vision.
Creativity.
Creativity.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Articulating longing.
Mm-hmm. Articulating longing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And forests see beauty in things that other people don't see. I one time had a boar tell me they just saw the beauty in the just the closeness in the face of an old person. You see, it's just beauty, and you're just like blown away by where they can see beauty. So now we're going to go to the head base triad. That's a 5, 6, and 7. And their core emotion is fear, and they focus on safety. And fives become introverted, walled off from others. They call them the castle or the totem people, while focusing on the protection and economical management of their inner resources. Fives become adept at avoiding situations in which fear might arise. If you need to leave, feel free. Feel free. Sixes try to understand threats and uncertain outcomes so they can prevent something bad from happening. Sevens underplay their fear. Their coping strategies operate to move them away from fear and unrelating feelings. So you can see that each type in a core has one type that overuses, has easy access to their core emotion. Another type misuses it, and the other type doesn't even see it. So
then the fives want to gather more knowledge. They're observers, thinkers, watchers, experts, and perceptives. They withdraw to their thoughts. They have resigned energy, and they move from others. They were given the gift of awe and amazement, of the absolute power and genius of the divine, in all parts, in controlling all parts, in the one year working universe. They began to experience that things didn't work out perfectly, which brought on a feeling of emptiness, so that their ego tries to fill it with knowledge. Bill Gates is an example of a five, who has a very evolved, he's a high level, healthy five, but he withdraws to that deep, deep knowledge. He withdraws away, and then he comes forth and calls, steps forward into the world.
And when fives connect, oh my gosh, they've got so much to bring to the world. But unhealthy fives, they just withdraw into themselves.
Emotions are terrifying.
Yeah.
Because they can't understand them easily. They don't access their heart. They're in their head. And lots of us in the USA are, you know, stay up here. We're rewarded for staying up here. But they actually really stay up there.
Okay, so look over your sheet, and what do you see about five that you want to comment on? So what do you see that we give thanks to the fives for?
If you're curious.
Curious, okay.
Knowledgeable.
Mm-hmm.
Visionaries,
receptive. Yes. They are such observers. Such good observers.
And I think they can have a good sense of humor.
when they're on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because they have the knowledge.
Right.
Which can be surprising.
Pardon me?
Which can be surprising.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, tech six. These are the people who believe they must gain security and certainty in a hazardous world. They are the hardest to identify. Every type is based on some kind of fear. But sixes, it's out there. Everything is fearful. They are loyalists, devil's advocates, questioners, and doubters. They comply to outer authority. They are self-effacing and move towards others. Sixes were born with the gift of knowing that we are all part of the true and perfect presence. We are all essence, from which we can access unshakable courage to go forth in the world held in being. The world, the universe is safe. All is good. God will provide. They lost that sense of trust, with their ego feeling the need to force the issue and manufacture security through obeying authorities outside of themselves. They are so future-oriented. If I can do the worst-case scenario, I prepared myself, I'm ready, I know what to do. I know what to do. So, what do you see if you look on your paper about sixes?
Dutiful.
Oh, yeah. If a six tells you they're going to do something, they're doing it.
I have an anecdote about a six.
Yes.
My best friend is a six, and she's really loyal. When I went through a breakup in high school, she drove over to my house and brought a hoodie. She just came and made her dad drive in the middle of the night to my house. But we went hiking in the fall, and I'm a seven, so I was really focused on us having fun the whole time, and I didn't plan anything. And she's a six, and so she carried a stick for 4 days in case we saw bears.
Mm-hmm.
And I interpreted that as that she was anxious and not having fun at all. And so when our backpacking trip was over, we got in this really big fight, and I was really nervous she didn't have any fun, and she said, "I can carry a stick and still have fun." Like, that is actually how she can have fun, is if she's prepared. And it didn't click for me until we went through that together.
And there's the wisdom of the Enneagram.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now you can have compassion for why she needed to carry a stick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised she didn't have like a too heavy backpack to carry, because she had everything else she might need. They're prepared. So, last one
are the sevens. Okay, we have a whole bunch of them here. These are people who are overly optimistic. They come to life with all this joy and excitement and yes. And in self-care, they're in self-care and having fun. They're epicures, adventurers, generalists, dreamers, and versatiles. They can flex and all kinds of things. They assert that they need to be free of pain. So they came into this world. They're expansive energy, and they move against others. They're energetically... have that energetically moving against and towards their excitement. Great people to have when you want a change done in an organization or a group if they're behind you, because they just carry the excitement. They were born with the gift of knowing all souls to be in a place of absolute freedom, with no walls or limits, and with abundant resources that produce great joy. They lost that sense, so their ego feels the need to create joy by looking into the future, planning positive experience while avoiding anything negative. So they really move to places where freedom. Sometimes what ends up happening with sevens is they just keep moving and moving and moving and moving and moving from job to job to relationship to relationship to relationship because it gets boring. And so the six and the sevens, like the example that we heard about this place of knowing how to be with pain and hurt, is a journey for them. They need, you know, to listen, to slow down, to settle.
And when they do go to that place where they don't like to go, it's really hard.
And so their journey is is to allow themselves to be whole, to allow themselves to feel the range, the good and the bad, so that they can feel the wholeness of life rather than seven. I've heard sevens talk about when they get in their 50s, they're like, man, I accomplished everything. I did this job, this job, this job, this job, and I never felt whole because I never felt the range. But what can we give thanks to the sevens for?
Well, what do we have for, does it want to take a look at your sheet there, or any sevens? I know some of you have done a lot of work thinking of working around sevens. What do you have to offer in terms of?
I always tell the story of when I go into an ice cream shop, I see all of the options for toppings, and I ask for all of them. And so what I've created is a really gross, like, it's not tasty, but I want to try it all. And so I'm like, yeah, gummy bears and Oreos and syrup and
caramel on top.
And then it's like this nasty brown mush. And I look at everybody else's ice cream and I'm like, they chose better because they chose less, but I really want to taste it all. And that's sort of like the sevens constant quest.
How about gluttony? How about, there are 5 desserts tonight. Oh, I've got that one.
Choices. You like a lot of them, but.
Be careful with the family planning department. You don't want to have all the children.
Yeah. I've had like 20 jobs in the last 16 years.
Yeah. And you identify as a seven?
Very strongly. Yeah.
I like having them as friends because I feel like deep down I want to be a seven, but I'm not. And like, but they encourage me to do things I otherwise wouldn't do.
Yeah, they're great inspirers. Yes, they're great inspirers.
They're so exuberant. It's just energizing to be around them.
Okay, we're giving thanks for the sevens. They're exuberant. They inspire. They're fun. I one time heard that sevens are the architects of the kingdom. I mean, they can, they're visionaries. So, we're going to have to wrap it up for now, but how many of you feel like you might know where you are, if you didn't know where you are?
Or at least a beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You're starting to accept it?
Yeah.
We give thanks for each type.
So I just want to say, so she said I'm starting to accept it, which brings up this point that a few of you were talking about if you identify a type that you have to do that with, that's probably a clue that it might be your type. Because sometimes it doesn't feel very good. No, I mean, I would love to be a seven. So I'm working on that too.
And I am a six with a 5 wing, and I've been really, really working on efficiency. And the other day I just did this little shift, and I thought, my 7 wing is really not very strong. I'm out of balance. I've been working so hard in this one direction. So that's the work of the Enneagram. You can see that it's a constant lifelong thing and where you need to go.
So we have up here a list of anyone who wants to sign up for a conversation. You can put your name and requested time, and then we'll get back to you on as all the schedule shakes out. We'll leave that here. There's also some books along there if you want to take a look at, just as there are books, but you know, if you want to take a look at them, it's of course a lot more deep in the books. Anything else? We have one more session on Friday.
Yep.
Okay,
thank you. Thank you, Seven.